You're about to hear a tremendous interview with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, but first, this segment is sponsored by Cordoba Minerals, which has identified a very large high-grade copper-gold porphyry system and has been able to lock up an entire belt in Colombia directly in between two extremely large producing mines. Cordoba Minerals just hit a stunning 101-meter strike of intense gold and copper grades, and the sky is the limit in terms of the possible resource here, as the company has a massive land package. And Cordoba Minerals also has significant financial backers such as Continental Gold, Dundee, and the chairman of a major silver producer. Cordoba Minerals, symbol CDB in Canada. This is King World News. I'm Eric King. Remember to go to our homepage, where on Sunday we will have a special release with Egon Von Greyerts, and what an incredible interview he gave. And where earlier in the week we had Grant Williams and Andrew McGuire, but without any further delay, here is Paul Craig Roberts. Joining us now is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. He is the former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury and is also the former Associate Editor and columnist with the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Roberts, we have this situation going on in the Ukraine. You're worried it's going to spin out of control. But there's an interesting history here. You had predicted the collapse, economic collapse of the Soviet Union. The CIA missed it and asked you to come and speak with them. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. When the Soviet Union collapsed, I was invited to come to the CIA and explain to them why they had gotten it so wrong. The difference with the CIA dated back to the Reagan years, after Reagan got the economy on its feet again with his supply-side policy. He then focused on ending the Cold War. He wanted to end it, not win it. And his approach was to first cure our economy so it would show the Russians that we were out of the stagflation mess, but they still had their problems, but we were back on our feet. And so once they saw that, they would believe that the pressures that he kept threatening to put on them of a new arms race, of SDI, you may remember Star Wars, none of this actually ever happened. It was all Reagan propaganda to make the communists in the Soviet Union agree to negotiate the end of the war rather than to be drawn into an arms race that the economy at the time was no longer able to sustain. So that was Reagan's approach to the CIA. Kept telling Reagan that, oh no, don't threaten the Soviets with an arms race, they'll win. And Reagan couldn't believe this. And of course, my book had published in 1971, 10 years prior to Reagan coming into the presidency, had concluded the Soviet economy had already failed. And Reagan was aware of that. So when I left the Treasury, he appointed me to a secret committee that had subpoena power over the CIA, and we were told to evaluate the CIA's conclusion that the Soviets would win an arms race. And to keep it short, the main argument they had was that the Soviet Union could control investment and therefore could put whatever percentage of the Soviet economy was necessary into the military in order to prevail over the United States in an arms race, whereas the American people wouldn't stand for some unlimited amount of resources diverted into the Pentagon's budget. And so that was the CIA's position. And I don't know whether they sincerely believed that or whether they just didn't want the Cold War to end because they had a lot of power and influence because of the Cold War, and that would take a back seat if there was no longer a Soviet threat. And, of course, the entire military security complex made billions of dollars out of the Cold War and the Soviet threat, so they didn't want it to end either. So Reagan was really up against the entire establishment on that, and many of the Republicans themselves thought that he shouldn't be negotiating with Gorbachev because Gorbachev was one of those sneaky communists. And Reagan was just an old man, and the communists would take advantage of him and suck him into some kind of agreement that would end up with the Soviets winning. So this was the whole milieu at the time when Reagan was trying to end the Cold War. And the committee that he appointed me to, we concluded that the CIA was wrong. People took my position in the committee, and that this would be an effective threat on the part of Reagan to put pressure on the Communist Party of the Soviet Union to negotiate the end of the war. And it worked. and that's what happened. And so that's story.
Dr. Roberts, let's fast forward to where we are today then and what's happening in the Ukraine. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, what happened in the Ukraine is that, you know, Washington has been trying to subvert the Ukraine because it has a working relationship with Russia and pull Ukraine into the EU, because once it's in the EU, that more or less means it's going to be in NATO. And Washington's pursuit of world hegemony is essentially blocked by Russia, China, and Iran. And so if it can put missile bases in the Ukraine, it further degrades the Russian military capability, and certainly the Russian strategic deterrent would be degraded. And it puts Russia in a situation where it cannot effectively resist American hegemony. So Washington almost achieved this in 2004 with the Washington-financed Orange Revolution, they called it, when Washington had funneled huge sums of money into what were called non-governmental organizations, NGOs. They were all Washington's fifth columns in the Ukraine. They were hiding under the cloak of human rights groups, teaching democracy, educational groups. But they essentially were paid by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a State Department CIA front, and the groups that it financed to cause a protest, an uproar, and turn Ukraine into a government that would be amenable to Washington. Well, that failed. And so what they've done now is to repeat the process. We have the intercepted telephone call that's capturing the conversation between the Assistant Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, and the American ambassador in Kiev, Pyat, I forget his name, and which they are discussing the coup that they have in motion and who they're going to stick into the American-controlled government as soon as the existing one is overthrown. So we know without any doubt that it was a coup organized by Washington. We also have Victoria Nuland's speech at the National Press Club last December, in which she said that Washington had invested $5 billion in aligning Ukraine with U.S. interest. So this was a coup. Now, what happened? And here is not clear whether the Obama regime simply overlooked the ultra-right-wing Ukrainian nationalists. These are people whose roots go back to the Ukrainians who fought with Adolf Hitler against the Soviet Union in the Second World War. In Western Ukraine, these extreme nationalistic elements still exist with their Nazi roots. Now, I don't know at this time whether the Obama regime was counting on these people and was working with them as well as the so-called moderates that they have been showcasing, or whether they just neglected this group. But what has happened is this group now is in control. The bought and paid for moderates that were working in behalf of Washington to take Ukraine into the EU have not emerged as the leaders or as having any power. The latest news reports show that these right-wing thugs, who are the only organized and armed group, these are the ones who introduced the violence into the protest. They broke into military armories, stole rifles, machine guns, grenades, and they are now intimidating the moderates that Washington was relying on to do its will. In fact, you can watch the video of one of the leaders, whose name is Muzichko. He, in the last couple of days, appeared before some group of the moderate government ministers, fully armed, told them to pass a law granting blocks of apartments to protesters, and telling them, I dare you to take my gun. In other words, You do. You do. I tell you right now, or you're dead meat. And we've seen other such intimidation factors. The ruling party of President Yanukovych, the members, some of them have been shot, some beaten. Their homes have been invaded. They've been intimidated with threats to kill them and their families. And they're resigning en masse from the ruling political party in order to save their lives. So clearly, there's no democratic process or law. The law comes out of the barrel of the guns of these right-wing elements. One is called the right sector. One is called Spilna Sprava, and there are several others. And it is these right-wing elements that now control the streets, control the legislation. And what has happened is that the moderates, I mean, who knows if they're moderates? Let's put it this way, that Washington's paid lackeys who were complicit in Washington's plot, in order to save themselves now, they are passing the ultra-right wing's program. The other day, they passed a law that Russian language cannot be used officially in Ukraine. Well, this is absurd because the southern and eastern parts of Ukraine are former Russian provinces that Khrushchev, who was Ukrainian, added to the Ukraine in the 1950s. I don't remember the reason he did that. Maybe he was just drunk, or maybe he was proud to be Ukrainian, or maybe he was watering down the extreme right-wing elements in western Ukraine that had fought for Hitler by adding Russian populations to Ukraine. So what is known as the Crimea has always been Russian. I mean, it's been Russian since the Russians took it about 200 years ago from the Tartars. And also the eastern Ukraine are former Russian territories. So here in these provincial governments, Russian is the language. The people are Russians. The vast majority of the people are Russians. And so when you see Washington stooges legislating the program of the ultra-nationalists, essentially they're neo-Nazis. They are now using Nazi symbols and of course, Nazi language. This Zichko, I mentioned, declared that he would be killing Jews and Russians for the rest of his life. He brags that he was in that breakaway province, Chechnya, killing Russian troops and blowing up Russian tanks. So if this is extremely provocative for Russia.
Well, let's talk about that, Dr. Roberts. How does Putin view all this?
Well, no one knows for sure. Yesterday or the day before, he ordered an urgent military exercise to test preparedness of Russian military forces in western and southern Russia. So that's the part that sits right on top of Ukraine. So I think that Putin's position is that he's going to wait to see if the EU comes to its senses or continues to be controlled by Washington. I think he's going to see if the EU comes to its senses and realizes that the Ukraine is out of control, that the American plot has failed and delivered power to a dangerous group, that if this group succeeds in obtaining power, essentially means war. It means civil war in Ukraine. That will mean Russian intervention because Russia has already said that if the Russian provinces seek protection, we'll have to give it because they're Russian citizens. They have a right to Russian citizenship. And Russia has announced that it will provide protection for the president, Yanukovych, who legally and officially is still the president. You can't remove the president by a vote of parliament. So it's a dangerous situation. Already we see in the Crimea that there are organized militias and protests demanding that the country rejoin Russia. And the parliament in the Crimea, it's a regional parliament, has now passed a referendum to determine the region's future. In other words, they're going to let people vote. You want to be part of this new Ukraine or you want to go back to Russia. And so we'll know more, I think, tomorrow, that the president, Yanukovych, who's had to go in hiding for fear of being murdered, is holding a press conference. And we'll see what he says or what comes out of that. I don't think the Russians are very happy with him because he allowed the situation to get out of control. He didn't use force. Now, the American propaganda is that all of the violence was due to him, but that's just a blatant lie. The riot police that were sent in to control the protesters were unarmed. And many of them have been killed. They've been shot. They've been burned up with Molotov cocktails. The police casualties are quite high. So he is hiding from the ultra-right wing and Washington stooges, who increasingly appear to be stooges of the ultra-right wing. So it is a chaos. It's a mess. I expect the southern and eastern provinces of Ukraine will return to Russia unless somehow the moderates can regain control. But I don't see how they can, because the first thing the fools did was to disband the riot police. So that left them with no protection whatsoever against these ultra-nationalists. And so the ultra-nationalists show up into the meetings of the so-called parliament, armed, telling them what to pass. They've also invaded the Central Election Commission, or whatever it's called, something like that, and told them we're going to be occupying these offices from now through the time of the next election. Yes, the Central Election Commission. And we're going to remain here to be sure you don't rig the election. And, of course, they mean rig it against them. And, of course, if they're going to remain in the Central Election Commission's offices, it means that the election will be rigged in favor of these armed thugs. So it looks to me like a very dangerous situation. It's been produced by the arrogance and stupidity that has been proven over and over and over is the hallmark of Washington. I mean, look, the failure is everywhere. Look at Libya today, a total chaos. Look at Iraq, total chaos. They've introduced chaos into Syria. They've kept it going in Afghanistan for 12 years. Wherever you look, every time these fools in Washington intervene, they produce massive chaos. So that now it's in Ukraine. Now, the difference is the chaos in Ukraine is a direct strategic threat to Russia. The Russian naval base for the Black Sea Fleet is in Crimea. There are all sorts of Russian defense industries in Ukraine. They're not going to let this stuff go into the hands of ultra-nationalists who are showing every day their hostility to Russia, banning the use of language. They now want to criminalize the use of language. They want to strip ethnic Russians of Ukrainian citizenship and make them live in Ukraine as non-citizens. They have destroyed the national monuments, one to the Soviet troops who drove the Nazis out of the Ukraine. This has been pulled down and destroyed by these ultra-right-wing Ukrainians. Another one they destroyed is the monument to the General Kutuzov, whose tactics destroyed Napoleon's Grand Army. They pulled this down and destroyed it. And so all of the Russian citizens in the Ukraine, they see this as a direct threat directed at them. So no kind of reason or good sense is operating. And Washington, I think, has lost control. I don't think they were working with these people. The telephone conversation between Victoria Nuland and the American ambassador indicate no awareness of them. They've got a list of the so-called moderates that are on their payroll that is going to form the new Washington determined government. And so I think that Washington, again, has lost control. This is out of control, just like they lost control in Syria. They thought they had these moderates. The next thing you know, it's al-Nusra, it's al-Qaeda, who's taken over the opposition. And now in Syria, in Ukraine, they have created chaos, unleashed a very dangerous group that's the only organized and armed group in the western Ukraine. So what is going to happen? Russia is not going to accept such a group being there. The eastern and southern provinces, which are Russian, are not going to accept it either. Now that the Obama administration, a collection of absolute ignorant fools, totally incompetent people, they have no idea what they're doing about anything. And now they've produced a situation. Are they going to have to save face by confronting Russia in his backyard? They're stupid enough to do that. Well, I think the risks are horrific. And it shows what happens when you let people with an ideology, this neoconservative ideology, American hegemony, and they sit there and they think up a scheme and they say, oh, this is how we'll take control of the Ukraine. Well, they haven't taken control. They've destroyed the stability that was there, brought a strategic threat to Russia, probably brought about the dissolution and breakup of the Ukraine. They will lie about it. They will never admit this is what's happened. They will continue to portray the situation as, oh, it's all Putin's fault. Just look at these aggressive Russians. Oh, the Russians want to put down this emerging democracy. They'll have to do that just to save face. And so it naturally leads to a confrontation.
Dr. Roberts, in closing, for the people around the world that have been following you that are invested in gold, what are your thoughts on gold?
Well, I think the supply available to the West is rapidly diminishing. And when people realize that the regime of fiat currency is on its last legs, the supply of gold isn't really there to absorb their flight from the fiat currency. And most likely, there'll be a very strong and rapid rise in the price. Now, when this happens, I don't know. It may well be that we'll end up in a confrontation with Russia. The Americans could not win on the ground there. They can't possibly, that distant from their bases, take on the Russian army in its backyard. So the conflict would likely go nuclear. So I wouldn't be worried about the price of gold right now. I'd be worried about whether we can survive the incompetence and stupidity of the arrogant and ignorant Obama regime. That's what the world has to worry about at this moment. Look, whenever you're stupid enough to take a direct strategic threat to a powerful military armed with nuclear weapons, which is what Russia is, you don't have any sense. And so we have the world being driven by a government that hasn't got any sense, the United States government. You just don't do that. Nobody in their right mind would take this kind of risk. So how does it work out? It won't have anything to do with gold. I think that Putin will try to settle it diplomatically. As I said, he'll hope that the EU comes to its senses and abandons Washington rather than risk this type of confrontation, that the EU will see that this regime that's forming in western Ukraine is not what they wanted. I mean, the last thing the EU wants is a regime of ultra-nationalists. The EU is trying to stamp out nationalism, put all the governments of the member states under the EU government in Brussels. So sovereignty and ultra-nationalism is the last thing the EU wants to see. So I think Putin also will wait to see what happens if the moderates get in control somehow. He'll negotiate a reasonable agreement with them. If the ultra-right wing prevail in the western Ukraine, then he'll be prepared to defend the Crimea and the eastern provinces and to reabsorb them in Russia. The ultra-rightists won't be able to take on the Russian army. So I think that the danger does not come from Putin or Russia. It comes from the fools in Washington. And if they push this, which I suspect they will, just as part of their cover-up, and their rhetoric, their anti-Putin rhetoric will rise, the lies will multiply, and they will force an issue rather than admit a mistake. And so this is a great risk the world faces. It's a risk of nuclear war.
Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, former Associate Editor and Columnist with The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for joining us on King World News.
Pleased to be with you, Eric.
Be sure to tune in on Sunday as KWN will have a special release with Egon Von Greyerts, and what an incredible interview he gave. And be sure to tune in each day as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, make sure to check out the King World News blog.